All of our visiting friends this morning, we want to give you again just a hearty welcome in Jesus' name. You're an honored guest, and I just want you to relax. Take a deep breath and just relax. Because you've got something going on in your mind right now that's you're wondering what is going to happen next. And here's what we're going to do. Go to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to do something that the prophets in the Old Testament did. It was initiated by God. I'm going to do something that kings did. I'm going to do something that Jesus Christ did and still does. I'm going to do something that the disciples and the apostles did. I'm going to do something that God ordained the church to do. And it's a very simple thing. It's called preaching. Not a lot of fluff. If you can look at me, you're not going to get a lot of fluff out of me. I'm not going to give you my opinion. Opinions are like the ears on your head. Everybody's got at least a couple of them. All right? I'm not going to philosophize with you. I'm not going to talk about politics this morning. I'm not going to talk about any of those things. I'm going to go into Mark chapter 4 and I'm going to preach a message that Jesus Christ himself preached. Now, I have been, pastor has been in the book of Romans for some time, and we kind of alternate as much as what we can. And I've been teaching for a long time now on charity. But I have chosen this morning not to do that. God changed my mind Wednesday night. And I can't even tell you why. But for some odd reason, he said, no, I want you to preach something different Sunday morning. And this is what we're going to do. Now, two things before we get going, have a word of prayer, read and have a word of prayer, and then get into this. If you would like to follow along with me, us, this morning, and you don't have a Bible, it's your choice. One of the things you're going to realize around here, and my brother Chris Fiola, I have the privilege of discipling him. And one of the things he always says that he likes about First Bible Church is nobody tells you what to do. Now that makes some people uncomfortable. Because you're used to somebody telling you what to do. I'm going to tell you one thing. And Chris will verify this. I've told him, read your Bible. Okay, so if you would like to follow along with me this morning, us, and you don't have a Bible, raise your hand. You don't have to follow along with me. You can listen. But if you didn't bring a Bible, we've got some church Bibles, and if you don't own a King James Bible, because that's what I'm going to read from, it's the book that from hundreds of years God used, all right, and still is. But my brother Pat's in the back with a handful of them, so raise your hand quickly before we get going. Don't be ashamed. Nobody's going to call you on anything. Remember, I want you to relax. Some of you are afraid this morning. You're full of fear. Okay? You think I'm going to attack you? because that's what you've been told. And I'm not going to attack you. So raise that hand high. Okay? Everybody's got one, or maybe you just don't want it. That's okay, too. That's okay. Now I'm going to ask you to do another thing. Ladies, reach into your purse. Men, reach into your pocket. And I want you to, yes, that's the train. It's annoying. But we kind of gotten used to it. I want you to turn your cell phone off. Amen. Now, I think the Lord and His Word has earned that respect. If Carnegie Hall can tell you to turn your cell phones off before you go into that great and grand auditorium, I think we can do the same for God, all right? So, and I know I know you're very important to somebody. You know who you're important to? Jesus Christ. You're important to God. All right. Mark chapter 4. Now, just in some introductory remarks. What you do with what you are about to hear is going to determine your future. Now, that sounds like an infomercial. That sounds like I'm either going to sell you a car or I'm going to tell you where your money should be put. But you have a commodity this morning. You brought it with you. You have a commodity this morning that will reap you great benefits. Simply if you listen this morning and you take care of this commodity. And every one of you brought it, including me. We brought this commodity this morning. If you ignore this commodity of yours, you will be guaranteed great loss. Now, if I was sitting where you're at and didn't have my notes, because I know what the commodity is, I've got it written down. But right now you're saying, what the heck is he talking about? I didn't bring my money with me. I left all my good jewelry at home. What is he talking about? Well, you go to, now I've got you in Mark chapter 4, and I want you to stay, put a piece of paper there on your finger, and I want you to go to Matthew 16, 26. Now, in a Bible-believing church, we do a rather unique thing. We use the Bible. Amen. As I said, I'm not interested in philosophy. I'm not interested in traditions. I'm not interested in my opinion or your opinion. I came to church to hear from God. Amen. And you've got His voice in your hands this morning. Look at Matthew chapter 16. And I want you just to look at verse number 26. One verse. God gave you a commodity. And we're going to look in Mark, chapter 4. And the devil has been trying to steal. You say, you believe in the devil in this church? Yeah. You ask me, why do you believe in the devil? Why do you believe in... They also call him Satan. Why do you also believe, and they also call him the serpent? He's called a deceiver. He's called an accuser. He goes by a lot of different names, but it's the same guy. And if somebody today would ask me, why do you believe in the devil? I know somebody would say, well, look at all the evil around us. Look at all the problems. Look at all the wars. Look at all the hatred. Look at just the evil things that people do. You know, that's not why I believe in the devil. You know why I believe in the devil? Because Jesus believed in the devil. Simple as that. I try to find out from this book what Jesus believed in. And then I stick to it. But you have a commodity this morning. You brought it to church with you. God gave you this commodity when He created man, spirit, soul, and body, body, soul, and spirit. He gave man a commodity. That's the most valuable thing that you have. And we're going to look at Mark chapter 4 because there were some people who just absolutely ignored the commodity. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. Now I'm taking time this morning because the world talks a lot about faith. Keep the faith, baby. What does that mean? Now, in this church, as we read our Bible, we know what faith is. Faith is when you put all your trust in something. By the way, you're exhibiting faith this morning. You're sitting on a chair that you didn't make. You're sitting on a chair that you don't even know the molecular structure of it. Maybe some of you do. We've got some PhDs in here. But you have just put all of your body weight, you've put your ischial tuberosity right there in that chair. You're exhibiting faith. The acrostic that I always give on faith is forsaking, F-A-I-T-H. Yes, I can spell. Forsaking all. Ooh, that's a key word right there. Forsaking, we're talking about something. We're going to look at this commodity. Forsaking all, I trust Him. You know what your commodity is this morning? Matthew 16:26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank You for, as God manifesting Himself in the flesh, You became all man and all God for one purpose. You came to seek and to save that which was lost. And Father, this morning, we're going to preach a message that Jesus preached. I've got it word for word. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all recorded it, Father. Now, Father, only You can open eyes. We've not come to entertain each other. I know we've got dear friends in our congregation this morning that came as family members or friends to see a loved one baptized. But Father, I'm asking You to give the increase this morning. About 168 hours in a week, Father. And within 2 hours, there has to be some eternal good made. Just doesn't seem right to have 168 hours in a week, and we only give two of them to God. But Father, I can't make a lasting impression. I don't want somebody going out of here saying, hey, he's a halfway decent preacher. I want You, I'm asking in Your name that You would open minds, open hearts, open eyes, and do some eternal good in this place. For Your honor and for your glory alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. The most valuable commodity that you have is your soul. But I want to go to Matthew chapter 4 because Jesus is beginning to give a parable here. And somebody would say, why did Jesus teach in parables? And the disciples asked him that many times. And the answer actually comes in Mark chapter 4. But Jesus taught in parables for a reason, and that being, there were a lot of different people that listened to him. Some people had an honest heart. Some people were called Pharisees and Sadducees, and they were extremely religious. And they had preconceived ideas. And most of the time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees did not come, as I said, with an open heart. They didn't come with honest questions. They came to trap Jesus Christ. And they came to accuse him. So Jesus taught in parables he was teaching a truth, but he had hidden the truth enough that if you didn't have the right heart attitude, see, the Bible is it's a wonderful book. This Easter Sunday, it will be 44 years since I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So I have, and I've tried to read this book through every year. So 44 times, this is a very unusual book. You see, you can read every other book, maybe it'll take you a couple times, but you kind of get the gist of it. But the Bible is a book where you have to approach it with the right heart attitude. You approach this book with the wrong heart attitude, and you'll get exactly what you want. We won't turn there, but in Ezekiel chapter 14, there were some Hebrews, the nation of Israel, they were coming to worship God, but they had set up some idols in their own heart, but yet they were coming to worship. And if you read chapter 14 and verse 4, we won't go there in the prophet Ezekiel. He said that God answered them according to the idols in their heart. Now, I don't know what kind of, we're going to look at soil. Don't know what kind of soil your heart's in today. We're going to look at four types of soil. My wife laughs at me all the time. She says, you know, when you preach and give a number, you'll say four and raise one finger. This time I didn't. Math wasn't my strong suit. Four, you see, one, two, three, four. I got it. And this morning, you and me, we are going to fit into one of the four soils. You're going to be one of these soil. But Jesus, he would tell a story, and it was all truth. But he had told it in such a way that he realized the majority of the people that were listening, they didn't have the right heart attitude. By the way, Jesus still knows that. Jesus still knows whether me or you and me, have the right heart attitude. So he would teach in a parable. And that's what you have here. Look at verse number 1. And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship, and he sat in the sea. So he pushed himself off the shore there. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken. Now, notice it didn't say hear. You're hearing my voice. But the hearken means to pay attention. To take what you hear and do something with it. Hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground. Now, I want you to notice he's not doing much explaining here. But he's going to those who have the right heart attitude. Some fell on stony ground, verse 5. So you had wayside soil, in verse 4. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7. And some fell among thorns. So here you have the third type of soil. You had wayside soil. You had stony ground in verse 5, stony soil. And in verse number 7 now, some fell among thorns. So you have thorny soil. And the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse number 8. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, the disciples questioned him a little later on. And when he was alone in verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. Because in just that reading, I can't get the gist of that truthfully. So Jesus is going to tell them the truth. Because they had the right heart attitude. I hope you have the right heart attitude today. I don't care whether this is your first time or whether you go back 39 years when we were in another part of the island and had, or in Mel Sabaka's living room for a couple weeks. You see, I hope I have the right heart attitude. Because this entire thing that Jesus Christ started, initiated, which came to be called Christianity, the entire thing, even in the Old Testament, the entire thing is governed by the heart. It's not governed by how smart you are. It's not governed by what you do. It's governed by the heart. He that hath ears to hear, so verse number 10, he was alone. Some people ask him. Verse number 11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery. A mystery is simply something that's been hidden for a while. Mystery isn't something hard to understand. It's just been hidden. That's a biblical definition of mystery. The mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, just in a quick statement, the Bible talks about two kingdoms. You have the kingdom of heaven, we know that, which is a literal physical kingdom with a king on a throne. The domain of a king. The Old Testament, you had the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ is going to come back very soon, Revelation chapter 19, and he's going to establish again the kingdom of heaven. He's going to sit on a throne. But this talks about the kingdom of God, and we know they're not the same. Luke chapter 17, we won't go there, but just write these things down. Log them in your brain. Luke chapter 17 and Romans chapter 14 tells me that the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It's not meat and drink. The Bible would say the kingdom of God is within you. So God, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you come to a saving knowledge of what we're going to look at this morning, when you individually come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, nobody's intimidated you, nobody's twisted your arm, nobody's applied you in some way. I'm not selling you Jesus Christ this morning. Truth be told, I know my brother, we got some salesmen in here. Chris used to be a salesman. Truth be told, I'm just going to flat out tell you right now, I don't like salesmen. You don't have to try to tell me some lie in order to sell me something. As soon as I walk in the store, I'm not very educated and I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But when I go into that store to buy something, I know exactly what I want. I've done my homework. Just step aside and let me look at the thing I want to buy. And if I have any questions, I'll ask you. You don't need to tell me how good something is. You don't need to tell me about that car. I've done all my homework. Well, I want to buy a new refrigerator. I can guarantee you I've done my homework. I know more about it probably than you do. But I'm not trying to sell you Jesus Christ this morning. We have an agenda around here. I'm not going to lie to you. We have an agenda. We do. Jesus is going to tell you his agenda in a minute. You know what our agenda is? Tell you the truth. Tell you the truth. Now, I think you're very educated people. I love New Yorkers. We might be arrogant and full of ourselves sometimes, but you want to know something? A little tough to pull wool over New Yorkers' eyes. It happens a lot. But, you know, usually we're pretty well-read. But we're going to look at something because somebody deceived somebody in believing something that was a lie. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, they had the wrong hearted attitude, all these things are done in parables. Now look at verse number 12. This is an interesting verse, because there's a word in here that I've had it used against me, you've had it used against you, but I want you to see, I'm going to read verse 12, and Jesus is going to say he wants to do something. That seeing they may see, not perceive. Seeing they may see and not perceive. Yeah, they had the wrong heart attitude. And hearing they may hear and not understand. That was all because of the wrong heart attitude. Now watch this. Lest at any time they should be converted. Did you ever have somebody say, are you trying to convert me? You know, you give them a verse out of the Bible. First thing comes out of their mouth. Well, I'm a, whatever his denomination is. Then they say, you're not going to try to convert me, are you? Why, do you need to be converted? But you know, Jesus had an agenda. He had a mission. His agenda was to tell you the truth. His agenda was, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But he also had a mission. You know what his mission was? His mission was to convert you. That's what it says. I'm not going to lie to you. His mission was to convert you from something that was wrong, from something that was dead, from something that had no eternal value whatsoever, and turn you and convert you. Yeah. So, anymore when somebody says, are you trying to convert me? Firstly, I want to know, well, do you need to be converted? Jesus looked at these people and said, they need to be converted. And their sin should be forgiven them. Now, let's jump down to 13. Because Jesus is going to explain this parable. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? Let me just read it through. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, key things being said here. Wayside, the seed was sown. When they have heard, oh, look what happens. Satan cometh immediately. He's a very timely guy. He's very focused, by the way. You see, why do I believe in Satan? Because Jesus did. By the way, Job did, and Moses did, and Joshua did, and Paul did, and Peter did, and James did. The whole book, all the writers mentioned him at least once. But here I have the writer of writers. I have the King, the High King of Heaven, telling me that you have an enemy. Now that enemy gets blamed for a lot of things. There's drug addicts and there's alcoholics and there's prostitutes and there's, and just name it all. There's child molesters and there's wars and there's rumors of wars and there's people lying to each other and people deceiving each other. But you know, all of that's just a repercussion of something else. All of that is just an extremity of something else. Look what Satan did. Satan cometh immediately. Here is Satan's agenda this morning. I want you to know this. Satan is trying to do something in this place this morning. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that is sown in their hearts. That's the first type of soil. That's the wayside soil. Some of you are wayside soil. You know what Jesus Christ's agenda was? You don't have to go there. But if you go to John chapter 1 and verse 29, I have it written in the column of my Bible. Do you know John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ? He was Jesus Christ's physical cousin. He was 6 months older than Jesus on the human side. But John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the crier. He was the herald. And in John chapter 1, verse 29, when John saw Jesus, he looked at Jesus Christ and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You know what Jesus' agenda is? To take away the sin of the world. And know this, you're the world. And me too. You see, up to the age of 20, when I heard this kind of message, it was like, well, that means you guys. You bunch of sinners. I reveled in it and loved it as a teenager and tasted things I shouldn't have tasted, and on and on and on. But up to the age of 20, I looked at you guys, and I went to church. I was a good Baptist, by the way. I went to church. I even tithed. How do you like that? But at the age of 20, married with a little baby boy, made it through Vietnam, made it through a few other things. And at the age of 20, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God kind of whispered in my ear one morning and said, "You do realize you're in the world, right, boy? You am the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away." You know what Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is a great giver. But you know the one thing he takes away? My sin. My sin. Now I want to tell you something right up front. I watch you ladies because I know this kind of preaching upsets people. So I'm always watching the men reach into their vest pockets because somebody might just pull a gun. Or one of you ladies might have a big goonie in your purse and heave it at me. And I just want to tell you something right up front. If you're going to aim with the gun, don't do this. It's too much bone. I'm too hard-headed. Right there. See where that little tie tack is? Aim right there. Do me a favor. Because you see, I know where I'm going when I die. Amen. Some of you don't have a clue. And we're not mad at you. We're trying to talk to you this morning. All right? So he said there's some on the wayside. Now, look at verse 16. "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground." So there's the stony ground. "Who, when they have heard..." So both of these people have heard. The word have heard immediately. Now watch what the stony ground does. Because we're going to talk about this. "Immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, that's a good thing. Yeah, but not completely. And have no root in themselves. And so endure, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution ariseth for the word's sake, watch the word immediately again. Immediately they are offended. So this stony ground soil, they receive the word with gladness after they've heard, but they don't have any root. And they can't bear any fruit. Now, look at verse 18. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things. I like the way Jesus said that. He just said the lusts of other things. He didn't enumerate anything. He didn't have to. Entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, watch verse 20. Now, you're either wayside soil, stony soil, thorny soil. And now we got to verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground. Now, watch the simplicity of this. Such as hear the word, because that's Luke calls the word the seed. As hear the word and receive it. And bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. Now, I can see there's a sower. There's seed, soweth the word. Luke said the seed is the word of God. That's why we do what we do here. I'm going to be honest with you. I think preaching, pastoring gets a little tricky sometimes. But you know, preaching's just flat easy. You just tell people what the book says, and you're done. Because only God can give the increase. You see, only God's going to take your soil today and do something with it. So this thing of preaching, it's really not hard. And by the way, if you're saved today, and that's a biblical term, not afraid of it. The late night comedians make fun of it. I don't care where you listen to cable, whoever, whatever you've got in your home. Somebody's making fun of the Bible. Somebody's making fun of the word salvation. Somebody's making fun of the word saved. But I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. And I'll tell you why I'm not ashamed of it. Because Jesus used it. Amen. Jesus used it a lot. That's right. So I'm not ashamed of it. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word of God and receive it. So, in verse 14, you had a sower. In verse 14, you had seed. In verse 15, you had the soil and the preceding verses. Then in verse 15, you have Satan. And then in verses 15, 16, 18, and 20, it all says, when they heard. So, you have a sound that's going out. Now, just a quick question. Out of these five, which one do you have control over? Now, just think about that. Sower, seed, soil, Satan, and the sound. Do you know this morning, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 40, some people told Jesus to quiet his disciples down. And Jesus in Luke 19, 40, because they were just sowers. Jesus told those people who wanted the people to quiet down. He said, if these people quiet down, the stones would cry out. The stones. You know, Jesus has always had a sower. I collapsed from a heart attack. Pastor Mike's going to get into this pulpit. He's going to finish this however he chooses to do it. Ain't no big deal. Him and I understand each other. If he does the same thing, somehow we're going to finish it. But let's say both of us die of a heart attack. He's not the healthiest creature in the world either. That's an inside joke. We won't even go there. You got two of the most unhealthy people pastoring your church. You got to love it. You got to love life. It's just funny. But I can guarantee you there's 10 deacons in this place who will take this message. You know why? Because they're sowers. Then you got some other people who aren't, they don't hold the office of a pastor, but you can take kids in our Sunday school. You know, the world and religion, you do realize Rome crucified Jesus Christ, but it was the religious people that demanded it. Duh. I think you need to read your Bible. You're an intelligent person. They've always been trying to silence the sower. And God always has a sower. This morning, it just happens to be me. The seed, Isaiah 55:11. You don't have to, we can't go there for time's sake. My word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that whereunto I sent it. So you can't stop. You have no control over the sower. You have no control over the seed. And I can tell you, just go to Acts chapter 19 and read about some vagabond Jews who tried to cast out an evil spirit. It's a funny story. And in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 20, those vagabond Jews, the seven sons of Sceva. Crazy name, huh? Sceva. But you know what those evil spirits said as they were trying to cast out those evil spirits in the name of Paul? Those evil spirits looked at those seven sons and said, funny thing, said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? And they jumped on those seven sons and beat them up, tore their clothes off, and they ran off naked. So you want to know something? You really can't control Satan. God can. So when somebody thinks that they have the power to control Satan, I'm going to be honest with you. I kind of back away from it. And somewhere along, I'm going to get on my hands and knees and say, Lord, if you don't control this situation, we're all in trouble. How about the sound? The sound is the seed. The sound is the preaching. For faith cometh by hearing. You know what you can control today? You. You're the soil. You control the soil. The wayside soil. You know what this is? I do things kind of with the same letter and or whatever, just to help me remember. That's corrupt soil. Wayside soil. Satan came immediately. You're in the book of Mark. Can I take you to Mark chapter 7? Wayside soil. Taketh away the word. His intent, said immediately. His intent is swift. And it's intentional. Satan cometh immediately. Satan's primary goal and purpose is to take the word of God out of the heart of men, women, boys, and girls. That's his primary goal. His goal is not to make a drug addict, not to make a drunk. That's just stupidity. That's just you wanting to do the wrong thing. He's not trying to design your marriage to fall apart. That's just you not wanting to love each other. That's just you got eyes where they shouldn't be. You know what Satan's primary goal is? Took the word of God. He's already done it to some of you. I wouldn't let him do it. I had a nightmare last night. I have a problem sleeping prone anymore, so I sleep in a chair in the living room. And it's very comfortable, and I like it. And somehow, I sleep better sitting in that chair than I do lying in the bed. But I'm sitting in a chair, and I hear somebody breaking into the house. You know Satan's a thief. So I'm in the chair, and you know how you dream and you're right at the verge of waking up? And for some reason, I've got my hands around the guy's lapel. And I can't tell you why, but I'm yelling, 911! 911! 911! And I'm getting louder. And I know I'm getting louder because you're trying to wake yourself up. 911! Debbie tells me I yelled down 3 times. Baby, wake up! Baby, wake up! Pat, wake up! I hear anybody say, I'm yelling, 911! You know why I'm yelling 911? Because somebody's trying to break into my house. Now, that was just a dream. And then she said, and I won't even repeat what I said. You got to watch when you're unconscious. That's why I don't like being under anesthesia, because you never know what's going to come out of my mouth. Sinner saved by God's grace, okay? If you're looking for the fourth part of the Trinity, you ain't getting it right here. I'll tell you right up front. I'm just an old, dirty sinner who got saved 44 years ago. And God's been trying to clean up ever since. But she said, all of a sudden you said, what the? And I used the word heck. What the heck are you doing? And I'm still sleeping. And I got the guy by the lapel going, 911, 911. You know what the devil is? The devil's trying to break into your house. The Bible says he's a thief. The devil's trying to steal your soul this morning. Are you going to let him? Oh, my word. Don't let him. He's a thief. You know what some of us have done? We just kind of opened up the door to our soul and said, oh, the devil, God, oh, come on in. I'll give you everything I've got. Come on, folks. Mark chapter 7. Let me give you 2 areas where Satan works. I'm going to explain the one. I'm going to go there in Mark chapter 7. Satan works in 2 areas. The wisdom of the world. And we won't even elaborate on that. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Read about the wisdom of the world. Paul writes, the wisdom of the world is foolishness for God. Just absolute foolishness. The more we try to fix problems, do you know what we're doing? We're creating 100 more on top of the one that we tried to fix. And that's called the wisdom of the world. More psychology, more philosophy, more education, more money, more this. You know, I've been here a long time along with you. We're still trying to fix the New York City public school system. And something that actually works, our new mayor wants to close them down. I tell you, I don't understand this wisdom of the world. But there's something else that plays even a bigger part. Go to Mark chapter 7 with me. Then came together unto him the Pharisees. That's these religious people. And certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands, oft, eat not, holding, watch this, holding the tradition of the elders. Now something is going to enter into worship, and it's called tradition. And when they came from the market, verse 4, except they wash, they eat not. Many other things there be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Verse number 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the traditions of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied, of you. Well, now, once again, I didn't write the Bible. But I do read it quite a bit every day. And you do too, I hope. He answered and said unto verse 6, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. Why? They're religious people. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain. Once again, I didn't write it. I just read it. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now, look at verse 13. Making the word of God, that's the seed. Jesus was the primary sower. All of us who are saved are under him doing the sowing. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. You know the wayside soil? Satan works in two areas, wisdom of the world and worship that is absolutely worthless. These guys were worshipers. We're talking about the Pharisees. They would put any religious person to shame today. Any religious person today, we can't hold a candle. We can't touch the hem of their garments. When it came to religion, when it came to traditions, when it came to them having an order of things, you have to do this and this and this. And Jesus comes along and blows it all out of the water. Yeah. By the way, the man who just said, thank you, Lord, that's Eli Adler. That's a saved Jew. That's a saved Hebrew. Right, brother? Don't shake your head and say, yes, sir. Gotcha. Okay. You don't have to say, sir. Just say yes. It's the way I was raised. So you got a saved Jew back here, and you got saved people from all walks of life, all different denominations. I was a lost Baptist, then I got saved. Some of you had different denominational backgrounds. Then you start to read the Bible, and you decided, I don't want to be wayside soil anymore. And the devil just says, oh, I can't steal the word of God. Okay. Let's move on. Let's go back to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, look at verse 16. So the devil's got an agenda. His primary goal in his life is to take away the word out of your heart. I hope he hasn't done that this morning. I hope he hasn't done that. 16. And these are they, likewise, pretty close here. These are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they hear, when they have heard, rather, so they're hearing again, they hear the word. Immediately, oh, this is a good thing, immediately receive it with gladness. But there's a problem here. And have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecutions arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, this soil seems to be a little better, but what we're reading tells me that this soil still won't sustain life. Where the wayside soil was corrupted, you know what this soil is? This soil is counterfeit. This is the counterfeit soil. Because they received the word of God gladly. Immediately receive it with gladness. That's a good thing. But they had a problem because of the soil. No root. No root. Do you know what Jesus Christ calls himself in Revelation 22:16? Jesus Christ calls himself in Revelation 22:16, I am the root. He's the root of David. Do you know why they had no, the Bible says it. They had no root in themselves. They really didn't have Jesus Christ. I have known people that just, once again, I sat in a Baptist church, a good one too, preached the Word of God. I sat in it from the age of 3 to the age of 20. I defend this book. I defended this book in high school classes. I almost got kicked out of a senior lit class because I defended the Bible. That's the truth. You can ask my wife. Teacher met me in the hall. They were trying to purport the idea that God was dead. And she was asking everybody's opinion. I wasn't even saved. I'm a 17-year-old punk kid who just doesn't care about anything but a few things. Fast cars, women, and a few other things that I won't mention. She came up to me and she said, you know, I didn't agree with you yesterday. And you really need this. Now, this is what she said to me. She said, you really need this class to graduate, right? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, then I'd appreciate it if you don't speak anymore in my class. Public high school. I said, not a problem. I just wanted to get out of high school, marry my darling. I got a job, married my baby, and we started a life together. No root. This is the counterfeit soil. It looks good for a while, but time and testing reveal that it's soil that can't sustain life. Afflictions arise. Persecutions arise. They get offended. You know why they get offended? Because they really don't have Jesus Christ. So you have this wayside soil where the Satan is pulling the Word of God out of people's heart. But these people on the stony ground, they actually hear and receive it gladly. But they've got some ulterior motive. Maybe you like the Word of God because, I don't know. Remember what faith is? Forsaking all, I trust Him. You know, Jesus won't tolerate mixing and matching. Yeah, but I just like a little bit of evolution and, you know, I like a little bit of that. And, you know, I just kind of like the way the Word of God sounds. You know, I've been at this a long time. And some people think that preachers and pastors really are stupid. But I'm a people observer. You always know the ones that really aren't saved. Because they've got no root. You know what happens when God comes in here? He comes out there. He takes over this. He takes over this. He takes over those. The offenses because of the word has revealed that this soil is counterfeit. Look at Mark 4:18 real quickly now. Mark 4:18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word of God, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know what this thorny soil is? It's careless soil. So we had corrupt soil. We had counterfeit soil. This is careless soil. Now the soil is getting better, but it still won't sustain life. There's only one of these soils that sustains life. And we're going to get to it. Sown among thorns. He tells you what the thorns are. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of just about everything under the sun. You see, there is something today that's going to keep some of you from coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Some of us. Maybe Satan's already taken the Word of God out and you're just sitting there listening to me. You're hearing my voice but not listening. Then you got that stony ground. And you just like being here. You just like the atmosphere of friendly people. You really don't like religion because nobody's friendly. So you come in here and we're kind of friendly. Some of us smile a lot. I'm not one of them, but some of us. And you're not against the Word of God. And after a while, we don't know who's saved and who isn't. God knows. So you just kind of fit in. I've taken guys on the mission field that weren't saved. See, you can be a counterfeit. But there's this careless soil. You see, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you've got to take the cares of the world and the lusts and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things, and you've got to put them over here. And you've got to say, I'm not going to let those steal the commodity of my soul. Because it has been said, when's the last time you saw a U-Haul truck behind a hearse? You brought nothing into this world, and it is certain you're taking nothing out. But you know what you're taking? You're taking your commodity. And it's either going into the bliss of heaven or the horror of hell. That's just Bible. You want to silence the sower? Have at it. But don't you want to have the truth? I love the truth. Amen. I just love the Word of God. Amen. You know why? Because it's the truth. Amen. It's just truth. It just is truth. Now, look at this last one. I want you to notice how simple this is. Look at verse number 20. Many, many years ago now, Andrew Scroy, is she here today? Andrew's not here. Andrew Scroy? Ah, there she is. There's my sister. I preached a message on the simplicity of Jesus Christ, right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And somewhere after that, she was so kind, she found a little wood carving that simply says, simplify. And Deb and I still have it on a shelf on one of the tables in the house. I want you to notice how simple verse 20 is. It's the only one that has any good soil. And you know what this good soil is? This is converted soil. Because that's what Jesus said in verse 12. At any time they should be converted. Oh, you're trying to convert me? Well, take it up with Jesus. Because Jesus tried to convert people to the truth. Look at 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word of God and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, 60, 100. Do you see how simple that is? This soil is ready to receive the seed. This soil is free from anything that would stop it from bearing fruit. This soil doesn't want to be wayside, so the devil and stony soil, distractions, and thorny soil, just all kinds of debris, has all been put aside. You say, can it be that simple? Hear and believe. Can it be that simple? Let me give you one final verse. Go way to the back of your Bible, to the book of 1 John. Hear, receive, and be saved. Let me just ask you something. First Bible Church, those who know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, hear, receive, believe, bear fruit. Is it that simple, those of you who know Jesus Christ?
Amen.
It is that simple. Somebody has complicated this thing. And Satan is the prime mover who has used the wisdom of the world and the wickedness of worship to confuse. Well, come on now, you can read, can't you? I just don't believe the Bible. But have you ever read it? I don't need to read it. And don't you think that's a little... Don't you think that's just wrong thinking? Not believe it, but won't read it? Go to 1 John, chapter 5. One last portion. Now watch, verse 11. Again, this is not my opinion. I didn't write it, but oh, God knows I love to read it. I went from wayside soil to stony soil to thorny soil, and then 44 years ago, this Easter, the Spirit of God enlightened. The Spirit of God just said, listen, you control your own soil. Aren't you tired of the wayside soil? Aren't you deceived by the stony soil? Aren't you just encumbered with all that thorny soil? How about some good soil? And it all depends on you. And I bowed this proud, stiff neck and this hard heart. And I said, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. All I had to do was receive. Receive. Hear and receive. Verse 11 says, and this is the record, God hath given to us eternal life. This life is being a Baptist. I had somebody amening before I said Baptist. Let me reread this. And this life is in, you plug in your denomination. None of them are worth shooting. Keep your purses, ladies. Remember, not here, here. Okay. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. You know what the Word of God is? Jesus Christ said He's the Word of God. He's the seed. So if I have Jesus Christ, if I can hear and receive and believe, can it be that simple? God says yes. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe, as if to say, you can continue to believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence. That's why I say this isn't arrogance. I have God's word on this. I have His contract that He wrote and signed it with His own blood. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Peter said, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Can it be that simple? Yes. I just preached a message that Jesus Christ Himself preached. Let's bow our heads.